She's got it made. She don't know it yet. But Lord have mercy. If she don't grow up spoiled, she's missed a grand opportunity. But you know, I don't know. And you know, a lot of times kids and children leave home and, you know, they don't realize how good the food was till they've eaten McDonald's about 20 times in a row. Can't get the heartburn off of them. Huh? And they realize how good it was. That's right. Well, it's quiet in here tonight. Maybe I just ain't as anointed as it ought to be, but you know, about everybody raised in the hills when I was growing up, and it might, if it's this way, y'all can acknowledge it. If it wasn't, just you know, it may not have been that way, but we was raised on beans and taters. And then we got a choice the next day of taters or beans. You know, either one you want it. And cornbread. Mom, do you remember that? And you know, now, is this the way country? And when I was a boy, Brother Jerry, I thought to myself, you know, I'll never eat another bean when I get off this hill. Huh? I mean, you know, I was just a foolish young man. But you know what my favorite foods are to this day? Guess. You got it. You got it right. Fried taters, soup beans, and cornbread. And I tell you, God gave me a woman. I'm telling you, God, just, that's just my woman right there God gave me. And one confirmation of it is that she can make cornbread. Huh? And I mean good cornbread. Woo! Got that iron skillet, and it's wore nearly smack dab. I mean, I like it that way, don't you? Praise God. Y'all ain't getting nothing spiritual out of this yet? I'm going to tell you, you got it better than you think you do. That's right. And we ought to praise God. You get folks sometimes go out of town. I've heard Brother Zane come back from out of town or somewhere, and he says, man, I'm glad. I mean, you just, and he tried to explain to us and testify about how good it is to be. And others, I heard these singers go out and sing and come back and all you can get out of some of their trips is, it's good to be back. Huh? Yeah. That's right. And I've been right down that line too. And I tell you what, and the reason I'm saying this is, let's don't be so foolish that we wait till it's all gone and then say, one man wrote it like this. He said, no sadder words of tongue or pen than those sad words it might have been. You hear me? Those are sad words. If only I had them. If I'd have just realized what I had. I've seen people stand by the box with the lid up, looking in and said, if I'd only realized what a good one I had. When are we, why are we going to wait till that day? And a lot of times people don't. They live, and I'll tell you what. Give folks roses while they live. And if anybody is worthy of honor, amen, give it to them. Give honor where honor is due. That's right. Give it to them now. And I know I was raised up that way. We was mountain folks and we was a little stiff. My mama was an emotional person and loving and all that. All mothers are. But I was raised up, we was just kind of stiff and just bowed up, you know, and hugging just wasn't hardly in it, you know. We just bowed up, and you know, you can't hardly. I have to just ask God to help me to be, you know, I do better when I'm preaching any time. But you just get you raised like that. But I tell you, we can be mountain people, but we still need to tell folks that we love them. It's hard sometimes. It's hard, but we need to do it. Well, I got a message here to preach to you. It ain't going to be much better than what I'm saying right now. So I ain't going to need to hurry on into it. But now's the time if we're going to do it. We need to do it right now. Is that right? Right now. Tomorrow is a fleeting, fleeting shadow. I don't know if we can really get our hands on tomorrow or not. Yesterday is only a dusty, tumbleweed, old, broke-down, haunted town. Ain't nobody lives there. Today is our prize. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. This service, Brother Mac, and God showed me this early in my life, and I think it's scriptural, to put my all in this service tonight. And I do. And it's because Sunday is a long way off. A lot of treachery, a lot of dangers, and a lot can happen. So while all is as well as it is, we ought to be bubbling over tonight. How many of you elders know what I'm talking about tonight? Not a couple. Well, the rest of you will learn soon enough. The little girl went down the lane with her granny, and you heard me tell this. I read this years ago. She went to spend the summer with her grandmother, the elder up in years, and they went down into the field the last day, and they was going to just take a walk. The little girl loved walking with her granny, and her granny went in an area where she knew there were some pretty wild flowers. Went down a path that she hardly ever went down because she knew it would be something there for a little girl to see. And she got out on the path and looked at them pretty flowers. And the little girl said, "Oh, Grandma," said, "these flowers are so beautiful." Said, "I think I'll come back someday and pick these flowers." And she said, "Honey, if you want to pick these flowers with Grandma, you better get them today. For we may not come this way again." Do you hear me? We need to be picking some flowers along the way. Somebody say amen. Does that make any sense? All right. Judges chapter 12. Book of Judges chapter 12. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward, and said to Jephthah, "Wherefore passed thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and did not call us to go with you?" Did you get that? Why did you go fight and didn't call us to join you? And he says, "We will burn thy house upon thee with fire." Here was Jephthah's answer to him when they asked him, "Why did you not call us when you were going to battle?" And Jephthah said unto them, "I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hand. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands." Hear that? When I saw that you weren't going to deliver me. Now, Ephraim told it wrong, didn't he? Ephraim said, "You didn't call us." But Jephthah said, "I did call you. You didn't come. And when you didn't come, I took my life in my hands." You looking at that? "And passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are you come unto me this day to fight against me? When I saw that you weren't going to help me, I took my life in my hands." I want to go now over to the psalm and read you a verse, and I want to preach on "It's in your hands." Psalm 119. Verse 109, the Bible says, "My soul is continually in my hand." Now, you know, we're a people that just about every failure that we have, it's just human nature to blame somebody. Huh? Well, I'll just prove it to you. In the first family in creation, Adam and Eve, in the garden when Adam, was caught red-handed and Eve got caught, you know what their Adam said? The woman did it. And Eve said, the serpent did it, and the devil just stuck his tongue out, I guess. Huh? And God punished them all. Amen. And I think by that, church, tonight, we can learn this lesson, if God will help me, that our destiny is in our hands. Now, I know that seems to be a reckless place to put it. But, you know, I don't believe in predestination. Do you hear me? We're not predestined to either go to hell or go to heaven. That's not God's way. But God made man with a what we always call a free moral choice. I've heard it all my life since I've been saved that the Bible said, or that God made us free moral agents. You ever hear that term? What that amounts to is, hey man, you are going to stand on your own two feet. Praise God. Come on now. Now I know, I don't want you to misunderstand me tonight, because I preach a lot, and you know I have. I preach on about fellowship and our need for one another. And that is part of the scripture. The Bible said how sweet and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But how many knows, amen, that sooner or later, praise God, there's going to come a time when you, amen, are going to have to take it into your own hand. Praise God. Now, how many understands what I'm saying? I know we can't save ourselves, amen, but we have, amen, access to God. And it is our choice. Praise God. You say, well, I just don't have it going too good. I don't have much of God. I don't feel God. Amen. But you know, amen, if you are in that situation, I want to tell you, amen, the Bible said that there was a coming a day, amen. Now think of this scripture. You may have heard me use this before, but there coming a day when the child that eateth the sour grape, amen, it will set his own teeth on edge. Now you say, well, what's that mean? That means that God said there's coming a time when every man is going to be responsible for his own self. Amen. Now, I want you to get this. Now, when I'm preaching, I don't want you to think, well, Brother Randy thinks we ought to be just independent as we can be and that we don't need nobody else and we can make it. Amen. That's not what I'm preaching. Amen. But I am going to preach this. Amen. If nobody else does help you, you still got to make it. Somebody say amen. Man. And we need, praise God, like Jephthah did, Brother Zane, there come a time in his life when it looked like nobody else was going to help him. Amen. And he said, I'm going to take it into my own hand. Praise God. We need revival. Amen. You know, there's no need of me calling Norman Smith to come, amen, all the way from Alabama, amen, to preach. Amen. If I'm not going to do something myself, he can't bring me revival. Amen. You don't carry it around in a suitcase, amen, or a Bible cover, amen, it comes down from heaven. And in order for us to get that, the Bible said, he that hunger, come on now, the Bible said, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Amen. Could I tell you something you may not readily agree with, unless you've ever thought about it before, but you have just as much of God as you want. That's right. Come on now. Amen. You say, well, I want more. Amen. Then you can get more. Amen. But you see, our want to has got to be sincere. It's got to be more than just saying the words, I want to. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, we're in a critical time. Amen. We're in a time like Jephthah was, Brother Mike. Amen. And I'll tell you, our children growing up here, and you know it's true. Amen. We cannot live this thing for them. The Bible
Bible says to take them to the house of God and raise them on the altar. And it says to train them in the way that they go. Brother, I could make them quote me the Bible every morning for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Brother, if they did not in their heart, amen, come on now, when the bottom line is drawn, amen, whether or not they're saved and go to heaven, it's not up to me. Are you helping me preach? The final say is in their hands. Somebody say amen. And that's the problem. Young folks sometimes, amen, raised up in church and spoiled a little, like my little Mackenzie is, and she's going to have to grow up, Sister Jerry, sometime and realize that we can't do everything for her all the time. There'll come a time when I can't do the praying for her. Amen. I can't read the Bible for her. Amen. I've tried to be an example of the Bible to my children, and it blesses me when I see them reading their Bible, and when they get a habit of reading the Bible. Amen. Because I know this much, that my reading the Bible for them won't do them an ounce of good after they reach that age of accountability. Amen. It's not out of my hands then, and it's into their hands. I want to ask you about the church here tonight at King Mountain. Amen, Brother Steve. Amen. It's in our hands whether we get anointed or not. Amen. You say, you mean it's in yourself? No, but we everyone know how. Amen. To get before God and plead the blood and seek the presence of God. And if we don't get it, amen, it's our own shortcomings that cause it. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. We are responsible. The battle's on. We cannot depend on somebody else to come and fight our battle. It's in our hands now. Praise God.
I had a good pastor. Amen. I sure did. Had a good pastor. I still consider him my pastor, even though I don't ever hear him preach anymore. But I, you know, it ain't good for a preacher not to be accountable. I don't know if y'all understand me or not. I'm either too shallow or too deep or something. But it ain't good. I said it ain't good for a man not to be accountable. That's why we need fellowship. Because when you fellowship, you're accountable to one another. In a certain degree. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. It's not good. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Amen. After so long, amen, when I left my pastor, amen, and Brother Ralph could never, ever study one sermon out for me and say, here, Brother Randy, amen. And I'm going to tell you something. He never anointed me one time. Are you helping me preach? Amen. I needed a pastor, and I still do, and you do too. Amen. But the essence of it is, amen, Brother Steve, that sometimes we've got to cross the brook and put our family over here and then turn and go back across the brook again. And there the Bible said Jacob was alone, and he wrestled with a man all night. Amen. Somebody say amen. I'll tell you, our young people, when they grow up, amen, and they get out on their own, it's going to be a lot different than you thought it was. Because now, amen, and I think it's kind of humorous, and I don't want to make fun of these young children because I was that way myself. Amen. And before I learned the hard way, every lesson I learned it the hard way. Seemed like I was so hard-headed, I couldn't learn nothing easy. I had to be a conk on the head before I could learn it. Amen. But I watch these young folks come along, and it's different. It just ain't the same because now the responsibility's in their hands. Somebody say amen. Amen. And here's the good part about it. I like it that way. I wouldn't want to throw my life into the hands of the Pope. Amen. Or some other man to pray me through. Are you helping me preach? Amen. But I'm glad it's that way. That's the way if I sink or swim, it'll be up to me. If I go to heaven or hell, it's in my hands. I think that's the greatest way that it could be. Amen. And it's in your hands tonight. If you're not right with God, you've got nobody to blame but yourself. If you're not on fire, you have nobody to blame but yourself. If you meet God, God's going to talk to you about what you could have done. It was in your hands. You can't blame the preacher or the deacon. You can't blame your finances. You can't blame your raising. Amen. No, no, no. God's going to say, I laid it in your hand. Your soul was in your hand. And it's up to you what you do with it. Oh, I wish I could preach to you tonight. Woo! Feel the Lord on my soul. Now, that means something to me. I feel the Lord on my soul. Praise God, we drag around. I ain't jumping on you. I love you. I wouldn't trade you for 15 churches somewhere else. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't trade. I ain't going to go nowhere else. And, amen. Unless, you know, if God would tell me to, I just have to mourn and cry and do something. But I don't have nowhere else I want to go. If y'all want another preacher, get a good one, because I'm going to be sitting here having to listen to him. Huh? Praise God. That's right. I ain't got nowhere I want to go. Amen. But I'll tell you this. Amen. Everybody in this building has a responsibility. Amen. God has laid, in some degree, the outcome of this church right in your lap. I don't see how in the world we can come and point the finger, Brother Zane, and look across the aisle and say, well, if they would do this or that, well, brother, that ain't got a thing to do with it. If every one of us would look in our hand, what is that in your hand tonight? If every one of us would look at our hand, you'd see a precious thing in your hand. More precious, amen, than anything you know of. It's your soul, and it's in your hand. If your soul ain't doing no good, amen, then why not? You're the keeper of it. Amen. You're the steward of it. God trusted you with it. It's eternal. And if you don't pray and you won't live right, amen, then you might as well just pitch that thing in the garbage. Amen. Because you ain't gonna make it. Amen. But you are responsible for your soul. Amen. Sometimes the going gets tough. I know it does. Sometimes going gets tough. You look around, they've been several times. Now, I'm not whining. I ain't no whiner. I ain't whining to you. But there's been a lot of times that it looked like, and it was, that's the way it was. Amen. Paul said, at my first word, all men forsook. Now, what did that mean? Did he quit? Huh? Did he say it ain't worth it? Come on, church, help me preach a little bit tonight. Oh, I wish I could preach tonight. Huh? Praise God, you're just as spiritual as your desire. You hear me? If you desire and crave and develop a passion and an appetite for more of God, There ain't nobody lives for God very long that stays in the same spot. You don't stay in the same spot. If you get comfortable and you just pull up and you rest, you start drifting backwards. You can't just stay in one spot. You gotta be a frontiersman. You know what the frontier means? Frontier. That was the in the discovery of America. The frontier was that wild front line, front duty. Those that were looking for new ground and blazing trails and cutting new ground out cutting trees and blazing trails and building new civilization and just kept moving out. That's the way we got to be in a Christian life. And I'm going to tell you, you come to church, we come sometimes, I don't know what we come sometimes. Amen. But what you get out of the service will depend upon you. Or is your heart open? What did you bring to the service? Somebody say amen. Y'all believe this? Brother Mark Brock was preaching one time, Brother Steve, and he told me this. I thought it was so humorous. He said he went into the church and he was an evangelist and passing through. He wasn't going to make it to his church on Sunday morning, so he just stopped by a little church that he saw there and stopped in the church and he didn't know him. He didn't think about him asking him to preach. And when he come in, and they took the offering up that morning, and he said he had some tithes that he hadn't paid, and he had $34 and something. He said he knew exactly how much it was, $34, and he put that in the offering, and he and then after a while the preacher said, "Are you a preacher?" And he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, we want you to come preach for us tonight." And that morning he got up, you know, and he preached. He got done. The preacher brought him the offering. And he said, "No, I didn't come for an offering." He said, "Yeah, we give the preacher the morning's offering. Here's the offering." He gave it to him. He went out in the car and counted it. Guess how much it was? $34. And he said, "Well, that's strange." And said the Lord, just Spirit of the Lord just spoke to him and said, "The reason you didn't get no more, you didn't put no more in." Huh? That's a pretty good thought, wasn't it? And that's the way we come, and we go home and drag it, and we say, "Well, we didn't get nothing out of the service." Well, maybe you just put 34 in. Come on now, church. You say, "Well, it ain't my..." Well, who in the world responsibility is it? We're going to blame it on the rats, amen, that run around in the attic. We're going to blame it on the fish in the creek. Maybe it's the traffic out on the road. We're the only ones in here. It's looking bad on us, Brother Steve. Amen. I wish the preaching was better. Well, look who's doing the preaching. Praise God. Amen. Come on now. I wish you'd help me preach a little bit. Jephthah said, "When I saw..." I want to tell you something. We've got to have a holiness church in this wicked hour, and we cannot count, amen, on anybody else helping us do it, except we do it ourselves. Amen. The battle's on, and we know how to do it. We've got to get on our prayer bones. We've got to get up in the mornings and read our Bible. We've got to live our life. We've got to be sanctified. Amen. Somebody say amen. It's in your hands. What are you going to do with it? Some precious things God has put in our charge. Let me preach a little more. Y'all not tired, are you? David came back. Ziklag, he left his family, his children, and he came back with his mighty men, and the place was burnt down, and not a living soul there. He took everything there. Every living human was carried off, and everything burnt out. And the men turned on David, and they said, you know, they got mad at him, and they thought about stoning him. Listen to me. And you know, church trouble, hey man, I'm going to tell you, when you get to the point in a church where folks are ready to stone one another, brother, it's time to call for the linen ephod. You hear me? Amen. That's right. It ought to never be. There's never been a church split. Amen. Come on now, that was the perfect will of God. You say, "Well, brother, I know some that it helped." Well, it wasn't the perfect will of God. It would have been the perfect will of God if folks would have loved one another and had harmony. Come on now. That's right. Amen. Come on, help me preach a little bit. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, when things get tough, amen, there's no need to start blaming and pointing a finger. Amen. Because the responsibility of getting the thing back together lays in our hand. Do you know what the Bible said about David? And I don't know how he did it, Brother Mike, but he called for the linen ephod, which was the priest's, instrument of prayer. And he got on his knees, and the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Did you hear what it said? It said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sister Debbie, has there ever been a time when you just had to encourage yourself? You wish somebody called, but they didn't. You wish somebody visit, but they never. You wish somebody say a good word, but they didn't. I wish somebody say amen. Amen. We're living in a society that's dependent on the government or dependent on somebody or reaching for something to be handed down. But there's going to come a time when we're going to have to take it in our own hand. And if it gets done, do it ourselves. Praise God. Is that all right? I'm not talking about an old closed up private affair. You don't care what happens to nobody else. I ain't talking about that. But I'm saying if you make it to heaven, you dig it out. You're not going to ride in on nobody else's amen wagon. You're going, it's in your hands. Praise God. I know folks get discouraged because of what other people does and quit themselves. Now, does that make sense? Huh? Get so discouraged over somebody drowning that we just jump in and drown ourselves. Now, that don't make a lick of sense to me if that's the proper answer. Praise God. And I've seen folks get so discouraged looking at other churches and worldly outfits, and they just loosen up themselves. And But that ain't it. I love other people, but that's not my business. You hear me? That's not my main goal. If I ain't right here, I ain't gonna help nobody else. You hear me? And I can't pray through for you, and you can't for me. I've seen folks, and you know, when you got family, they pity you and they've hurt for you, but you know, they can't hurt like you do. And they'll hurt with you, and they've been there. I talked to a guy today, and he's telling me his wife had kidney stones. He said, she was crying. He said, I've never had one. And I don't know, but she seemed like she was suffering. So she was crying. I said, I've had one, and I understand why she's crying. I cried myself. Huh? Anybody else ever had one? But you know, you can't really hurt along with them hurting. You can have sympathy with them. Hey, man, you help me preach? But when it comes right down to it, and here's the deal, and this may be what you don't want to hear, amen, but you can have, amen, all of God, amen, that you can get a hold of, but you've got to get up and get a hold of it yourself. David encouraged himself when everybody around him said, we'll just stone you, David. Our wives are gone, our children are gone, we'll just stone you. And you know, David could have got bitter, and he's a fighter. He could have said, come on, try. You may get me, but I'll get some of y'all. And he could have died bitter in the dust right along with the rest of them. And everybody would have been, all them women and children carried off would have been mutilated and abused. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he got down on his knees and he prayed. And he said, God, should I pursue after this? And God said, pursue. He said, shall I recover? He said, you're going to recover everything. And he got up and said, let's go, boy. And when he got up, they wasn't thinking about stoning him then. They saw that look on his face. Hey, man, David didn't have nobody to fight his battles for him. He just got up and he pulled up his bootstraps and he straightened his shoulders back and he said, God said we're going to catch this bunch and we're going to get everything back. Now saddle up and let's get out of here. And that's what they did. Somebody say amen. There comes a time when we've got to take things in our own hands and say, if nobody else is going to fight, I'm going to fight for myself. It's in your hands. Praise God. I thought about Elisha following Elijah along. Elijah went into the heavens and the mantle fell off and dropped down. And Elisha picked that mantle up. Elijah was gone now. It was in his hands now. He walked back to the Jordan River and he smote the Jordan just like he said in the name of the Lord God of Elijah. It was in his hand, but it had the same power. You helping me preach? Amen. This gospel. Amen. I've heard of preachers, Johnny Trevelyan. Huh? You know him? Johnny Trevelyan. The Disney, preacher Disney, the Disney Beaches was named after, where he went and prayed. Disney. Well, I don't know his first name. The Sullivan guy, preacher. Was his name John? John Sullivan? The Brother Green, that preached in this area. Then he found the church upon Antioch. Was he the one started that church? Preacher Green, was it? There's some old time preachers. Anybody know any of these preachers? I just heard their name. Hey, man, as I, B.H. Miller. You ever hear of B.H. Miller? I never did meet him, but I heard of him. Hey, man, Claude Ealy. I saw him one time before he passed away. He was singing at the camp meeting, and it was probably the year before he died. And I saw Claude Ealy. Hey, man, Brother Vince Wilson. You remember some of these preachers, don't you? Come on now. Hey, man, but you know those preachers are gone. All we know is where Brother Vince, when I preached the homecoming here the year before he died in August, he sat right there in a chair and slept. While I preached, he couldn't stay awake. He was so feeble and sick. And I think leukemia is what he had.
And he, but I'm telling you, they passed on. Amen. And they kept passing this book down and passing it back. And now it's in our hands. Are you helping me preach? I'm preaching on. It's in your hands now. Praise God. It doesn't make it any different. It's the same word of God. Elisha took that mantle, amen, and he smote, and he wanted a double portion. And, you know, if you count them up, I've never really sat down and counted them, but they said the miracles were twice the recorded number as Elijah did, Elisha did. And the last one, amen, was when Elisha's bones was laying in an old grave, and they took a dead soldier and pitched him in on Elisha's bones, and it was so much fire and a life in them bones that that soldier resurrected and come running out of the grave. Well, I want to tell you something. Amen. Elisha did not let the fire go out on his watch. Are you helping me preach? I'm going to tell you, you are responsible. Amen. You can't just compromise and walk the borderline. Amen. This thing is in your hands. Amen. Holiness. Are you going to live it? Amen. Just like the Bible said. Or are we just going to compromise and fool around? I tell you, there's a lot of churches that I have compromised and have left the old path, and we know all about that. But I'm not as concerned about that. It's what are we going to do here? You say, I'm not going to do it. Well, it's in your hands. Amen. You'll either take it and live for God and be a faithful steward. Amen. Somebody help me preach. Amen. I want to tell you, you can do it if you get up and get it done. Praise God. Let's stand. I believe it. Whoa, glory be to God. I believe it. There ain't nothing greater. Brother Stump was testifying last night, and he broke and cried a little bit and talking about his sickness and how weak he'd been, and thanking God for the strength that he was feeling. And he summed it up. He said, it's really been a great life. I believe that was the words he used. It's really been a great life. Serving God, he said, has been a great life. And it has. It has. The old time way, Brother Charlie, it's in our hands. We'll either pass it to the next generation whole and complete, or we'll pass them something that they won't even recognize. It's up to us. We got a lot of great people here. You're all great people. I mean, just the best. We've got more to do than just sit here and be the best. We've got to reach. We've got to look. We've got to climb. Amen. Not just me. Not just Brother Zane. Not just these men. Not just you. Everybody. I've seen people that never would really totally dedicate. But they wanted, they brought their kids in the environment and had good people around them. But that's not like you. Did you hear me? Amen. The responsibility, we've got to do our best. Right? Look in your hand. What's in your hand? I want every one of you mothers. Amen. And I know, I watch my wife and her living. Man, they the tightness. And she's precious. And I want to know, you look in your hands, you not only have these little ones, but look a little deeper. Something more precious than these little babies. You got your soul. Your own soul in your hands. You see, your soul don't make decisions for you. You do that. Your soul is at your mercy. When that rich man said, I'll tear down my barns and build greater, and he said, this day, he said, soul, eat, drink. You know what that soul probably said? Don't be a fool. If that soul could have talked to him, don't risk me. But God said, this night thy soul shall be required. One of these days, friend, that thing God put in your possession, he's going to say, where's it at?